imagine that a large retail giant moved into a new city. Yeah, we're not going to call it any name of anything that exists. We'll just call it Stuff Mart. All the stuff you'd ever want, they've got it or need. They put an ad in the paper inviting applications for people to work 1 month to stock their shelves. And they received 100 applications. The manager went through them all and chose the best out of those 100. He chose the best 25 and offered them a job. At the end of the month, he said, I'll pay you $2,000 cash. And there was an agreement made and they went to work. 1 week into the month, he phoned another 25. Come and work. And at the end of the month, I'll pay you a fair wage. The next week, he phoned the next 25. And he was just kind of going down the line. He hired the most qualified, the best applicants first. And so the next week, he phoned the next 25 and made the same offer. Finally, during the last week of this month, he phoned the last 25. The ones with no education, no good references, a series of bad jobs, many of whom hadn't even filled out their application properly and obviously couldn't spell. They too came and worked. At the end of the month, he called everyone together and lined them up to pay them. The lowly poor workers who probably weren't, even for the short time they worked, probably weren't very productive. Due to their lack of skills. But as they approached the table, the manager handed them each 20 crisp $100 bills. Now my Winoska math tells me that that's $2,000, the same as what he offered the first ones. I can imagine their reaction. I'm sure that these people who came in just for the last few days to move the last few things around were so surprised to get what the first had been offered. And also the reaction of those who came at the beginning, they imagined, well, if these people got $2,000, we're probably gonna get much more than what we were offered. They worked all month long. They worked harder and accomplished so much more. They're wondering, what will we get paid? And when their turn came, they also received the same 20 crisp $100 bills. They got upset, called the headquarters and the International Stuff Mart Union and lodged a protest. It's not fair. We worked all month and accomplished much more than the losers you hired last week. We deserve more than them. The manager replied, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for $2,000? Take your pay and go. I want to give those who were hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have a right to do what I want with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? And now I'm going to read the actual scripture here, passage. It's Matthew chapter 20, 1 through 16. I remember when I was looking this up, even when I was looking up the scripture, for some reason I had Luke in my mind and the scripture didn't match what I expected. So anyway, Matthew 20, verses 1 through 16. Reading in Jesus' name. Should we stand for the reading of his word? For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those who came were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden in the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the scriptures. And now, Lord, I just pray that as we look into this passage and think and meditate upon it, that the words of my mouth will be true and accurate to what your word says. And now, Lord, once again, I just am so thankful for this morning and for the opportunity to gather. In your name, amen. You may be seated. You know, we read this passage, and it kind of splits into two things here. There's kind of the setup through verse 7, and then verse 8 is the result and the real lesson. And it talks about in our mind, you know, we don't, his ways are above our ways. We don't understand in our limited knowledge. It's hard for us to understand the complete, in our minds, unfairness of God's grace. We want our reward to reflect our works. And at times that happens, but it's tough for us when it's not. And you know, it made me think of the story of David and his confrontation with Nathan. David had sinned grievously, had committed adultery, had the husband killed, and was confronted by the prophet. And as the prophet told David the story, the story of the person who stole the pet lamb to feed his guests, he kind of sucked David in, and David rightly said that man should be punished. But then Nathan said, after he had kind of set David up, or sucked him in, if you want to say, he told David, you are that man. And Matthew is, in chapter 19, Matthew is talking about the story of the rich man who turned away from Jesus. And this parable, I think, in a way, probes the same place in our hearts as the story of Nathan and David. Even though the stories are different, it kind of reaches into us in somewhat the same way. So here's the setup. You know, this idea of the of verse 1 would have been a common sight around the world in those days. The owner of the vineyard, in this case, needed people to come to work for a day or a week to help tend his land. And verse 1 sets the stage. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. So he's out there early in the morning. I suppose we would say maybe 6 a.m. there are some what we would call eager beavers out there at 6 o'clock waiting to be hired. And there's a negotiation that takes place, and there's an agreement between the landowner and those who are there. They agreed on 1 denarius for a day of labor. And I saw a comparison that in our day that'd be about $50. So an agreement was made. The probably wasn't in writing, but the agreement orally was made that they would work for the $50, and the landowner agreed to pay them that $50. So they agreed, and off to work they went. And we think of these people who were there early in the morning looking for work, the ambitious ones. And it warms our heart by these early rising go-getters getting a job so they can support their families. But in verse 3, he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. So the third hour, that'd be about 9 o'clock. He goes to get more laborers. There's more people there. Probably the ones that slept a little later and weren't quite as ambitious as the early ones. And standing idle, you know, that means he finds them doing nothing. And I don't know if these people expected somebody to come that late in the day to hire them. But he offers them work. And he just says he'll pay them what is fair. He doesn't tell them how much they'll get paid. And I'm sure they assume that they'd probably get less than what the people hired earlier would get. And I suppose in this day and age, if somebody came to hire us for the day and told us, I'd pay you whatever is right, we might trust that person to do so, and maybe not, but they probably needed to work. But the landowner is asking them to trust him to do right. And he goes back at noon and at 3, and he works the same deal with those who are there then. And I'm sure in their minds that they thought that, well, we'll be working half a day or less, so we'll get paid less than the other ones who were there early. And one last group, so let's say the workday ends at 6 p.m., they were probably gathered up and brought out there at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I want to read verses 6 and 7. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. And I was looking at some different translations, and I don't normally use the NIV, but I kind of like the way they put it. And here it says from verse 6, why have you been standing here all day doing nothing, all day long doing nothing? And it sounds like a frustrated parent or a frustrated spouse. There are days when I find it hard to get out of the recliner. So what are you sitting here all day for? And it almost sounds like that type of... But even though he may have been frustrated that they weren't there earlier, he is still willing to hire them if they'll choose to accept this offer. And I suppose we'd think of these people who didn't show up in the marketplace until 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we'd probably maybe correctly refer to them as bums or lazy or... and these people, there's no offer of a set amount again, just go work. And in our earthly values, you know, there's the saying, the early bird gets the worm. Hard work is rewarded, laziness is not. But then the second part of this, you know, there's a real reversal that is made. And we're starting at verse 8, this story is about to get turned on its head. And it really gives us something to think about. Verse 8 says, so when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his first steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. It's time to pay these workers. And the landowner makes specific instructions to the foreman to pay the late arrivals first. I thought about why did he call the ones who arrived last first? And I think in the parable that Jesus is telling, he's telling it to reinforce the idea that the others were made to wait and see what happened with those who came later. And it's something he, in this case, did it for people to search their hearts as the story is being told. And I guess to put it another way, it was so that everyone could see exactly what was happening. And as I mentioned, to increase the tension or to increase the interest in the story. So the whole group was there when all this happened. He said, call the laborers and give them their wages. They were all there. And everyone expected that these arrivals, late arrivals, would probably just get a pittance compared to what the early arrivers would get. And instead of a little bit of a coin or two, they were given a coin worth the $50 or the denarius. So clearly the values apple cart, if we want to call it that, is about to be upset. When he got to the all-day workers, the hard-working early risers, their expectations had changed. I'm sure that when the day began, they were happy to be able to work for that denarius. Verse 10 says, but when the first came, they supposed they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And they expected to get more, and who could blame them? You know, they'd worked all day. And I know that spending my career in a factory, that it's so easy to get, I mean, you sign up, you apply for a job, you make an agreement with the personnel manager, you know what you're going to get paid, and you work for a length of time, and you see others who came later doing the same type of work you're doing. And I know this is a little bit different, but I know that oftentimes you would think, well, I've been here 10 years working, and this person has been here 6 months, and he's getting basically the same pay I'm getting. Well, why shouldn't he? He's doing the same job I'm doing. But that's hard to overcome sometimes. Excuse me. So these people's expectations had changed. They did the work. They were there all day. And the grumbling probably began when the slackers in their minds got exactly what they got. And they were there 12 times as long as some of those people. We should get 12 times what they got. But you know, they got one each, as they agreed to. These people that came beginning of the day were happy to get that $50. But when, as the day wore on and the truth is revealed that the later comers got paid the same, they would begin to grumble. And their grumbling became a challenge against the landowner, their boss. And in verse 12 they say, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. You made them equal to us. In other words, they've accused the landowner of dishonoring the works. As we think about works, we want to be rewarded in ways that goes beyond an agreement we have made. It says that my works are worth something, and some are worth more than others. And this kind of makes me think, and we look back to verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Our Lord and Savior is still looking for people to come. The early comers, the late comers, he welcomes them all. And you know, I remember, well, probably still think this way, but when I was a kid, we'd hear about people coming to Christ with terrible stories of drug addiction, alcoholism, you name it. And I was fortunate to be born in a Christian family, and I wouldn't want to use the term that I was born Christian, and because that's not true. I was born a sinner like everybody else, but I had the Christian values taught to me and demonstrated to me. And so it feels as if, well, I've been working all my life. I mean, I'm grateful for my salvation, but this person who has lived a lifetime of who has lived a sinful life and has not done anything to further the kingdom of God, and in their old age they come to Christ, and it's like, man, you know, I've worked so hard. Why does that person deserve the same reward, the grace of God? And that's the way God looks at us. He's always out, if you want to use the analogy, out in the marketplace, looking for people to come to him. And he does want us to work for him. We accept the gift that he has offered us, and we welcome others who have also accepted this gift. And the landowner says, I'm being just. I gave you what we agreed upon, but I choose to give these others the same as you. And verse 14 and 15 say, take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? And when the landowner talks about doing what he wishes with his own things, we have to realize that everything we have, everything around us, is owned by God. He created it. That makes him the owner. And it is his laws and his ideals that we need to follow. And he is graciously given to those who come late the same grace as he gives to those who come early. And I just want to hit a couple of verses in Paul's epistles. The first one is from Romans 4:4-6. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to whom he does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. And we understand this, you know, in our dealings with employers. You know, when we work, we get, you know, the employer is obligated to pay us what we agreed upon. And verse 5 says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the godly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So what does that mean? The man who does not work? And it just tells me that no matter what our works say, there's no substitute for God's grace. And God's grace should spur us on to works. But the works are not a prerequisite for salvation. So are we saying that works are bad? No, I wouldn't. But only if they are a substitute for God's provision by faith. If we are saying, well, my good works have all, you know, it's kind of the old karma thing. I've had some bad days here. I better do some good works in the next few days to bring back to level. That's not the way it works. We have to depend on God's grace. And as we give thanks for the grace that God has bestowed upon us, his inviting us into his vineyard, we should be working to keep that vineyard up. So if we're thinking that we can earn it by works, works can be looked at as bad. And if it's not by God's grace, but by my works, then I get the glory and can become boastful. If I get the idea that, well, I've done such good work, the pride will come in. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. For by the grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So God has produced the work. God has produced the answer through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And God should get the glory. God, and we need to look to God for our salvation. And I always want to end things by saying that if you haven't accepted that gracious gift of God, I so encourage you to do so. Look into the scriptures, look into your heart, and don't consider the works. Well, I'm not that bad. The scripture says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the scripture is so clear that the only answer for us is to accept God's grace. And I believe this parable, as someone here has written, this parable calls us to search our heart for shreds of pride, for comparative whining. Comparative whining means, look at that person. I didn't get that gift, or I didn't get that promotion. Do what we've agreed to do in our work and also in our faith. And don't ever think that someone doesn't deserve the grace of God. And especially when we try to compare others to ourselves, you know, we clearly deserve the grace of God. That person over there doesn't. We need to be working in our communities to live our lives in such a way that we point people to Christ. So rejoice in the grace God has given you, the unmerited grace that he has given us, and that is also available to others. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunities that we have to worship you, Lord. And Lord, may we always look to you with gratefulness for all your blessings, and especially for the grace that you have extended to us through Jesus' death on the cross. And Lord, may we never take those things for granted, Lord. And now, Lord, I just pray that as we go through the rest of our day and the rest of our week, that we will live lives that are pleasing to you. In your name, amen. Yes. Okay. Okay, page 417. Just as I am, page 417.
Share.